It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
You are indeed in the loop. We're about to go around the NFL here in a moment. The question of the day was, how far have you gone in order to watch your favorite team? Because... Some Cougars fans already have some really interesting setups for themselves to be in San Antonio for Final Four situations. And one of the things I learned here on the text line is, it was just better back in the day. Because from the 832, they said during Bonds' home run record season, a friend of them drove to the stadium just to be around the vibe. Bonds came to bat, and the security guards went to watch. So they just walked in for free and watched Bonds hit home run. They think number 70. It was awesome.
That happens, I bet. I don't know this for a fact. A lot more than people think.
Well, that's one. And the reason why I said that it was just different, because the 346 also said they snuck into, snuck inside the Summit for Game 7 versus the Knicks in 94. Met Dr. J because the cops were just occupied with the game. I was like, y'all just were walking around into stuff?
Yeah.
Without having to have any, now we got facial recognition where you ain't no sneaking in places.
I was a kid, we used to sneak in. We used to cut class in high school, go figure, and go to shoot arounds back in the early days and watch teams just shoot around. You could just walk in and watch teams practice. It was pretty fun.
Oh, man. And I think we might have a winner because I'm glad, I feel like this happened long enough ago where whatever statute of limitations exists probably has passed from the 936. They said, of course it moves as soon as I went to it. They said that worked as a paramedic, had a friend call into 911 with a fake heart attack.
Oh, come on.
So they could pick him up, take him to the med center, and watch the Rockets. Walked into the game in uniform, just let us in without paying anything. Got to see the playoff game.
Got an emergency in there. Got to get in there.
Got to get in.
Got to get in there. Yeah, you probably don't want to mention any names on that one.
I don't have any names to mention, so I'm glad I'm not going to. But yeah, man, y'all serious about your sports, mm-hmm. and I appreciate you doing that. All right, let's get around the NFL here, where the league meetings are going on in Florida for the NFL. And, you know, there's a lot of talk happening, but then there's a lot of action. The competition committee is voting on various potential amendments, or actually not just the competition committee, the owners in general are mm-hmm. voting on whether to make some rules changes that are happening. Some things have already been agreed on in various different ways, including for the Texans. There's the joint proposal that the Texans were a part of to allow K-balls, which are kicking footballs, mm-hmm. to be prepared prior to the game. Well, that rule was approved.
How about so shout that, out to Kaimi?
Kaimi and Frank Ross, you get that.
21 for 21 on field goals in 2025?
Sure. Why not, right? Like, if the ball is prepared properly, that's yeah. clearly the only thing that was stopping him from going in, right?
Yeah. I tell you what, it doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt if, I mean, if, especially just, you know, mentally, you know, if he feels like I got these balls prepared, doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. All right. Diana Rossini, or I guess there's all sorts of people reporting this, but I saw this from Diana Rossini. So updates when it comes to kicking outside of the K-balls. The onside kick amendment will be voted on later in May. So they tabled that mm-hmm. to push back later to try and find some level of way to address onside kicks for kickoffs. However, with the dynamic kickoff, something that was approved mm-hmm. was moving touchbacks back to the 35.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
So previously, I mean, last year they were at the 30, you know, the touchback.
25, wasn't it?
Or was it the 25? Yes, 25, sorry.
Yeah.
25. And it was, you know, obviously mm-hmm. where the kickoff touchback had been moved to prior anyways. Now they moved to the 35 to further incentivize teams yeah. to try and kick the ball in the playing area and for, you know, to actually have the action of a return so that returns to being a football play as opposed to just something in the
right.
middle, some nebulous thing, in order to give the ball back without having action and entertainment for the fans.
Yeah, I'm sure most teams, you know, did all the research and analytics and all that, and the risk-reward just wasn't enough for them to do anything but kick it into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And now the risk-reward clearly is riskier. You know, if you kick it in the end zone, you start them at the 35-yard line.
15 yeah. yards away from midfield.
Pretty
and
much.
In theory, about 30 yards away.
20.
Yeah, maybe
yeah.
from really just being in full-on field yeah. goal range.
Yeah. So I like it. I think, you know, I was wrong last year, but I put too much stock into the risk-reward, but the 25 didn't scare people off. I think 35 will make people want to kick the ball into the landing zone.
Yeah, and we'll see if that actually gets them to that place. Obviously, now with the dynamic kickoff, which objectively has been safer when it comes to outcomes for the players,
mm-hmm.
I think that's made them feel more comfortable about, hey, let's
yeah.
get the ball in play and see how that ends up working out. All right, some other rule changes that have happened. NFL owners have passed the rule change that will allow both teams to possess the ball in overtime
mm-hmm.
during the regular season, much like the way that it happens in the postseason. I think we talked about this. I was against this. I view overtime as just a decider.
Yeah.
We need, in the regular season at the very least, you have had the full hour of football play to try and make a decision. We did not get that. Let's find a deciding factor here. That is not the way the owners are seeing this. They want to have, I guess, the opportunity to have the most excitement in this so that mm-hmm. both offenses have a chance with the football like they do in the postseason. But overtime will still be capped at the 10 minutes that it already
Which is weird to me. I mean, you can have... I mean, how's it going to play out? Just going to go to another overtime period?
No, I mean, after your first overtime in regular season, that's when you get to a tie, remember?
What if the opening drive has an eight-minute drive?
Then the next team has
a minute and a half, 2 minutes
correct.
To get it into the end zone?
Correct.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, I guess it's better, but did you see the biggest reason they didn't go to 15 minutes instead of 10? I mean, they went to 10 instead of 15?
I didn't.
TV.
Sure.
They don't want the late games to be delayed any more than it's not player safety. You know, they're going to say player safety, but some reports, and it might have been Rossini, actually, who mentioned it. It was some, you know, one is reputable saying, well, they didn't want to go more than 10 because they didn't want to bump back the afternoon games on some of these early games.
No, at this point, if you go through a full 10-minute overtime,
yeah.
you're pretty much, if not all, killing off the entirety of the next first quarter in the
yeah.
next window. Like,
yeah.
I have... That's why I'm a proponent of just get to the end of the game.
Because
these windows are so tightly stacked mm-hmm. in the NFL that you're already just trying to get to the next game.
It's just
you really
weird.
Just want to get
They all talk player safety, player safety, player safety. And somebody was telling, I think it was Rossini, oh, no, we just want to keep it moving.
Absolutely.
Keep the day moving.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Another rule that has been changed out there in West Palm Beach at the NFL league meetings that are happening. Expanded replay assist has been approved for the NFL. Now, you know, in theory, what this affects is more opportunities to, you know, deal with penalty enforcement and those types of things, spotting the football, game clock possession, those types of things. But then also giving them the ability to pick up the flag on a horse collar tackle or a face mask or roughing or running into the kicker, tripping, those types of things. However, and I think it's Mike Garofolo who made this clarification, this is still only to pick up flags, not to put them down. So you could not, in theory, you could not look at them, look at a replay and say, ooh, there was a face mask there. We're going to assess that penalty now.
I don't like that. I mean, it could have a direct impact on a game, a playoff berth, whatever. Like, if you drop back, if C.J. Stroud drops back and clear face mask that is not called, that doesn't fall under this.
It does not seem like, due to my, with my understanding of what the rule change has been, no, you would not be able to just.
I don't like that. I mean, I think that is a potential game-changing play, you know, horse collar, face mask, something like that. Now, you get into a gray area with, you know, holding and blocks in the back or something like that, but they should be able to do something like that.
Yeah, I think that this falls in the purview of, like, wanting replay to be an assist and not re-refereeing the game or what have you. I do wonder, though, if this causes a difference in the way that the game is administered, where officials and refs are going to be more likely to throw a flag knowing that, hey, we can go look at this.
Maybe.
And I don't know if that's a good thing, to be honest. Yes, in theory, that's like, oh, okay, it gives us an opportunity to be clear. But do you really need any more stoppages? And one of the things that I was thinking about, because watching baseball as the baseball season has got going, all of their reviews, even the reviews that were, you know, they go to the headset or whatever, they typically move pretty damn quick.
Mm-hmm.
And the juxtaposition of that versus the way that the NFL, NBA as well, but the way that their reviews work, just like, man, it drags out in a way that you don't like. And I can't imagine wanting to add more of those, especially if they're not going to be snapped.
Yeah, but if you know, that might be the way they go, is to go ahead and drop the flag, kind of like, you know, what they're doing already on some of these. They're dropping the flag or they're letting the play continue and then going back and seeing if it was down by contact or whatever it might be. I could see absolutely that's happening.
All right, a couple more rule change things that are happening there. The Lions, who made a proposal to eliminate automatic first downs on defensive holding and illegal contact, that has been batted down. Mm-hmm. That one will not hold up. So defensive holding will still incur a penalty of automatic first down, which
I was a proponent of it. I think that's a little bit harsh, you know, especially for a team like the Texans that have a really good defense. Maybe you get into a third and long was the example I gave. The defensive holding 6 yards downfield or whatever it may be, it penalizes good defenses, I feel.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it continues to keep the onus on defenses and put a heavier weight on them than offenses. That was something that we talked about a lot, especially when we talk about, like, quarterback sliding, which, you know, not much in that way. But then also the big thing, the thing that everybody had talked about, all the foreplay when it comes to this vote was, oh, are they going to ban the tush push? Enjoy your blue balls, ladies and gentlemen. That one will be tabled for later on. They'll discuss that at a later date.
That one's also in May, they'll decide?
Yes, they will push back to May. That one, we did not get a decision on whether or not. But that, I think even the idea that they tabled it probably does not bode well for the tush push.
No, I agree. I think there's been a lot of buzz around the NFL meetings that there's been more support to ban it. I hate it. You're penalizing a team for doing something really, really well. I just think it's awful. Then the other thing that I think is pretty important, and that is they changed flex scheduling. They changed the flex scheduling from 28 days to 21 now.
Yeah, that's the Thursday night football game specifically, right? So previously, last year, they implemented the opportunity to flex 2 games per year during a 5-week period, which is between weeks 13 and week 17, so that you can get some of, you know, especially once you get down the stretch on the season, if you end up looking up and going, ooh, that's a nasty game that we do not, a team that we don't want on national television, you can flex that. Now, last year, you would have had to do that a whole month in advance, 28 days to be exact. They've narrowed that window to 21 so that you get a little bit closer before making that decision.
Doesn't help fans.
That's still not enough for you to
travel
to figure out your travel and everything.
You
and
know, you've probably made these plans early in the season.
Sure.
You know, you're going to watch the Texans face whatever Indianapolis and Indiana, and you got all these hotel flights. All of a sudden, 21 days out, they change everything.
Yeah,
not great for fans, but you know. TV, baby.
That's right. That's
TV,
right.
Baby.
But, I mean, look, the TV is what pays a majority of this. Obviously, you still need to have a concern for the fans on the ground level. But, yes, the TV does pay for this. Speaking of the fans on the ground level, I guess I kind of know why this came to my mind, because I thought about in the stadiums and that experience. Did you see the renderings that supposedly were done by some of the most notable sports architecture firms out there on potential redevelopments of the Texans NRG Stadium? Did you see any of these?
I did not.
So I found them to be really interesting, because some of them, I mean, they're really high-tech looking kind of renderings, as renderings often are.
Yeah.
Where, you know, a couple of them have, you know, like the halo boards and kind of reimagining of various things, including maybe raising the entry level for NRG Stadium from like that ground level up a level. That would be something that goes over Kirby, and just like imagine moving up a level in that way. So the entry level would be that, maybe to kind of help ingress to the stadium. But I just found it interesting, and I didn't see how these came about, to be completely fair and to be entirely transparent. So I don't know if these were indeed like full proposals from HKS or Populous, a couple of the biggest sports architecture firm. But I did find it interesting. They looked like, I mean, they were well prepared, so it made me think that these were actual dossiers. But I think it adds a level of credence to just how serious the Texans would be about a potential redesign. It wouldn't just be like, hey, we're going to spruce this up and like a little spit shine. These would be some pretty major, you know, renovations to the building that honestly looked kind of cool.
I see you working. I see those Texans working. I want to dig in on this, you know, maybe after the show today, because I think that's how it goes. You know, you say, look how cool this is, and maybe it would just be the new stadium. But I still think, the renovation, I still think they want all the other stuff around the stadium.
Sure.
You know, that's what every NFL team wants. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah. On the text line, why don't they address certain quarterback that flops like he's been shot to draw flags? I mean, the Texans would have been the team to like propose some level of quarterback slide, you know, rules change, wouldn't it? But it does not seem like we got anything.
I don't think they wanted to go
effect.
There.
No,
I don't think they wanted to go there.
I don't
after
know.
After Nick and everybody just
that's what I was going to ask. Like, do you think that they had the capital, if not just like the, you know, the want to be in that space to like stand up and be kind of, for lack of a better term, the villain in that way?
Yeah, that would be it.
We want to have this shifted or at least adjusted in the way that we
no, I don't think they wanted to do that. I think they were good with just letting it slide, so to speak. No pun intended.
Yeah. And then, I'll mention this a little bit later when we get into what's popping. But, yeah, those, some of the rule changes that are happening. There's still some stuff trickling out of league meetings there in West Palm Beach. But, yeah, the NFL getting some things done when it comes down to it. Just not all of the things that you necessarily wanted to. And from the 281, NFL doing too much with the rule changes. Got to damn near learn a new game with all these damn rules. I mean, NFL always has a lot of rules. But in theory, like, these are just amendments to the rules that you already had. And hopefully to make them work better for the game.
I mean, the most dramatic one was the kickoff, and I feel like most people quickly, you know, got accustomed to that. It always looked kind of weird, but I think people got accustomed to what it was.
The explanation was so difficult.
Yeah, it was.
Like, all right, so there's this landing zone, right? And so if you kick it in the landing zone, then it's cool, but otherwise it's not cool. Yeah. And so we're going to line up in a very particular... All right, just trust me. Just see it. Trust me. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Let's circle back to the Astros, where we got another game under their belts outside of playing against the Mets, this time the Giants, but not a lot of runs still, not a lot of extra base hits still. How optimistic are you that the Astros will turn it around and get on a roll after what we've seen thus far? 713-572-4610.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And let's discuss it next. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's talk about these Astros. They fell yesterday to the Giants with it was a really good pitching performance for the Giants in that one. But, yeah, unfortunately, a loss nonetheless. Not nearly as bad as the Texas Rangers took. I'm just going to say that. They got absolutely smacked. 7-2 loss to the San Francisco Giants with, just some really good pitching from Jordan Hicks, tapping 100 consistently. Mm-hmm. But I think more importantly, you got one more extra base hit, if memory serves, from Isaac Paredes, which was a really nice one. It was nice to see it.
So that's three if you're counting. We need to get to the point where you don't know exactly how many extra base hits this team has.
Right. And I say that.
They got three.
I say that to maybe overreact, but mm-hmm. I say that to also tee up. Question. How optimistic are you that the Astros will turn it around and get on a roll after what we've seen thus far, especially offensively?
So what falls into the it's early category and what legitimately you're already kind of going, I don't know how optimistic I am about this.
I mean, four games is still objectively early. It's still objectively.
Way early.
But I feel like when we get to, I don't know, three, four series is mm-hmm. when we start kind of putting some things together.
There. Yeah. And we learned last year we can go 3-4 months and then all of a sudden things
I would prefer
change.
You not go 3 or 4 months. Yes. I don't know if I'm alone in that preference, but mm-hmm. I'd very much prefer that 3-4 months is not the way that the Astros go about trying to figure themselves out.
Well, okay, so let's get to some, parameters, some context here. The Astros have 8 runs in 4 games.
Is that good?
That is not good.
Okay.
Is it? I feel like obviously this is going to change. I think everybody would agree with that. But how do you feel about just in general the offense? Not just the 8 runs in 4 games, but the, Yordan. Well, he's looking at some sinkers a lot right now, isn't he? He's swinging and missing at a lot of sinkers in the zone. Christian Walker's hitting the ball pretty well.
He's hitting it hard
at people.
I think he is top. Mm-hmm. He's top 5, maybe mm-hmm. top 3. I remember on the broadcast for Space City Home Network mm-hmm. When it comes to exit velocity coming off the bat,
yeah,
is just not always fine in grass mm-hmm. for him. So like those are things like that.
That's going to change.
Yeah, eventually those will find places to land. But and I early on, especially in that first series, I was like, all right, I feel good that at least it seems like they're building innings even if they're not putting up extra base hits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily continued. Again, an incredibly, incredibly small sample.
No.
I still look at the guys. I mean, like, Yordan Alvarez is batting, get this, a robust
0.83.
Mm-hmm. Like, a 0.083. There's no way.
No way.
There's no way that remains the case, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Isak Paredes, who it feels like every time you're seeing the pull hit, the pull hitting, but it's just mm-hmm. maybe down the foul line or just warning track power. That feels like you'll see that kind of shift in some ways. It just looks like the top of the order and like the meat of your order mm-hmm. of the lineup. There's still so much to be wrung out of it that I'm not losing my mind about it.
Yeah, let me go through some things that I'm like, okay, don't worry about this. It's gonna
okay,
be fine.
All right, go ahead and try and assuage.
This. Just my opinion, but you tell me if you agree. Yordan, don't worry about it.
Agreed, strong agree.
Christian Walker, don't worry about it.
That one's the easiest one for sure.
Yeah, starting pitching. Don't worry about it. I think they've been pretty good.
The starting pitching has been great.
It's been dang good, and there might be some more. You know, help on the way. Starting pitching, don't worry about it.
Can I give you a stat?
Yes, please.
Because I've been having fun with Baseball Reference mm-hmm. last night. And you know how they have like the plus stats with like OPS plus or ERA plus, where they try and take this stat and they break it down into like a more basic way where mm-hmm. 100 is average, right? 100 is average. Below that is below average.
Yeah.
Above that, obviously, above average. When it comes to ERA plus, which again, 4-game sample size is going to skew this to some degree. The top team in ERA plus is the Chicago White Sox with 4.05 ERA plus. The pitching has been very, very good. Second, the Houston Astros with a 3.04. Like, the pitching has been astounding. And mm-hmm. you see it. Like, you see it with the way that they're pitching. In fact, even Ronel Blanco in that game yesterday was, I mean, I think the stuff was pretty good. Like, you ask Joe Spott and he'll tell you the stuff was pretty solid. He just, mm-hmm. you know. The location was a little tough for him, and then really, most importantly, you know, when runners were on the base paths, like, you know, obviously walks can be an issue for him, and then you got the runners on the base paths, and he didn't control that all that well. But outside of that, like, he actually was pretty damn good, mm-hmm. and then you put that on top of the first three pitchers that you had that had been incredible the starting pitching, absolutely is going to be fun.
A couple more. I can very comfortably say, don't worry about it. I think Jeremy Peña is going to be at minimum what he's been the last 2-3 years. You know, maybe not take off to an altogether, you know, career year, but I think he's going to be solid. He's comfortable there, etc. How do you feel about Isak Paredes right now? I wouldn't worry about it.
Oh, I still feel good about it. Like, and especially because his particular mechanics were broken down so much analyzed in such a strong way,
mm-hmm.
you see some of those things come into play. You see the pull hitting. You're seeing the great at-bats, mm-hmm. like, you know, the great discipline that he shows. And then he's another one that's getting strong exit velocity when he gets it, just maybe just underneath and not quite the right launch angle, which was the – I think that was the thing that got him – On the mm-hmm. double off the Crawford boxes, right?
Yeah,
I think that was just the got him on that was the launch angle. So I feel good about him in particular. And a fair question is asked from the 832: are we looking at the season's offensive numbers more closely just because of last year's bad start? And I can't say that fully because this team, again, you can start, you can actually break down the number of extra base hits on your hands, mm-hmm. or I believe maybe on one hand if memory serves me correctly.
One hand,
double checked it, right? So I think that particular thing, I think, is part of it. But I don't think that it's something to jump out the gym about.
Now, let's get to some things where, as much as it's way early, incredibly early, you might still be going,
okay.
I don't know how much better this is going to be. Okay, remember all throughout the spring coming into the year, wasn't that long ago, it was last week, where we're like, all right, I think they're going to be a little more selective. I think they're going to be a little bit better with their plate discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now, they have 16 walks and 33 strikeouts. They are not the plate discipline team that we were hoping they would be. Maybe they're just kind of pressing a little bit to try to get their, you know, the good start and all that other stuff. They also they lead the league by a wide margin. I was channeling you. I was looking at some of these advanced numbers that are out there. They lead the league by a wide margin in ground ball outs. Like, they're just
swinging and hammering the ball into the ground, which had me thinking a little bit, or opposing pitchers, you know, maybe figuring something out about the Astros and sinkers and breaking balls low in the zone and all that other stuff. We'll find out. But a lot of ground balls, a lot of strikeouts, not as many walks. I don't know if I feel real good about them turning that around.
Can I try and help you feel better about that?
Yes, sir.
Those 23 strikeouts represent a below league average
33 strikeouts. 16 walks, 33 strikeouts.
That is not what I am seeing on Baseball Reference at this moment. Mm-hmm. I am seeing 23 strikeouts.
Okay.
Which is below the league average of 29.
Mm-hmm.
The walks that I'm seeing again on Baseball Reference is 13 walks, and that is just above the league average of 12. Mm-hmm. And of course, like, I'm not saying that that is the best thing in the world, but as of right now, and maybe this is just not updated, mm-hmm. which would be weird because, I mean, you had a whole game yesterday, but yeah, I mean, you're in a place where I'm looking at it and I'm like, I feel like you're still near, okay, yes, 33 strikeouts. I guess it did not update the page, but that is still below league average
mm-hmm.
in that way. And then the walks, when you look at it, are just at league average,
yeah.
at 16, right? So, yeah, man, you're still in that place where you're around average, and this is when it's very obvious that the offense has not started mm-hmm. off hot. Like, this has started off very cold offensively. It's very evident. So,
yeah.
I think that once you find... obviously pitchers are not afraid to throw at you right mm-hmm. now because you've not made them pay. If you've got Yordan swinging in a big way, and if you've got
yeah.
some of these guys, you know, really putting the ball into play, getting hits, getting extra base hits, I think that changes approaches towards you where you maybe have more of the walks that help you.
It's something to watch. And then the other thing, I think this is every team in the league. It's not just the Astros, but we were keenly focused on the Astros relievers. Rafael Montero did not have a good night. And that is
the final reliever to get out there.
That's a sore spot that goes back to 2022. So we'll see. Keep an eye on the relievers, especially back end, you know, which made things exciting already.
Yeah, I'm just obviously coming from a more optimistic point mm-hmm. of view, but it does feel like there's still opportunity for them to be better. How much better, I think it ends up being the more important question, because I mean, you're still looking at a lineup where you have damn near all righties mm-hmm. right, and you don't have a lot of variety there to kind of switch things up, and you're really depending on some, you know, some guys including Yordan Álvarez who
yeah.
you know, can be a little boomer bust. That is a fair assessment to make of him as well. So these things, and it is weird that they're all kind of slumping out the gates for the most part.
Yeah.
It's baseball, man. It's a long season. These are things where you can't afford to take the smallest sample and, you know, run with it, because you'll pull your hair out
mm-hmm.
before you even get to a Midsummer Classic, you know?
And I guess it's just magnified more because, you know, you lost some very crucial players, and you're sort of feeling like, all right, are these new guys going to be able to pick up the slack?
And I think that ends up being some of the thing early, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, you look over at the Cubs, and as much as we were like, ha-ha, opening day, didn't look all that good.
Yeah.
Don't look now.
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker done hit home runs in back-to-back-to-back games.
Yep.
You know, like, those are the things where you go, oh, well, that would have been nice if you have a player hitting like that. Although, to be fair, all the Cubs have been hitting really well. And maybe you just look up and you go, mm-hmm. hey, you faced off against a Mets team that clearly was pitching pretty well. And then you got a Jordan Hicks, who is a Houstonian, who apparently played he pitched out of his mind. I know
yeah.
last year he had pitched in like the fours, like his ERA was in the fours
mm-hmm.
and looked like a four ERA pitcher last night. I'll tell you that for damn
he
sure.
He was on yeah, he was smoking.
Yeah, he was what they call shoving.
Yes, he was.
That's what mm-hmm. they call it, I believe. But yeah, they'll be back at it again today, and we get a chance to see Hayden Wesneski. I'm super intrigued.
I am too.
By what yeah. Hayden Wesneski looks like, because mm-hmm. I mean, the stuff looked really good, and mm-hmm. he seems like there's been a lot of praise for him. What does the Astros fifth starter look like? We get a chance to yeah. see that today. Although it did stink to not get the win in the City Connect mm-hmm. 2.0. Like, I thought that would be a nice thing to debut them in that way, but mm-hmm. hey, it is what it is. You keep moving. All right. Somebody said,
it is what?
It is what it is.
Oh, okay.
And you keep moving. I just wanted that to be very clear. Ocho, don't do that. Yordan Álvarez is the Jalen Green of the Astros. Don't do that. That's not even the same. With all due respect to Jalen Green, Yordan Álvarez is easily one of the best hitters in the league, and it's widely regarded. Don't do that.
That's a good line, though. I got to give him credit.
All right. I guess fair enough. A good yeah. line, but no, we're not doing that. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including Yeah, Kyle Tucker doing it. We'll talk about that more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's talk about what's poppin' here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610 on this Tuesday, April 1st.
Oh, God.
So first and foremost, hope the rent is paid. Hope mortgage is paid, what have you. Hope that that gets done for you. In fact, I say that as a reminder to myself because I do need to make sure that rent gets paid.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of it, I remember that it is indeed April Fool's Day. So believe half of what you read and none of what you hear or something like that.
I got a confession with this in about 30 minutes as well. Drives me nuts.
Yeah, we're already seeing the effects of April Fool's Day on the internets. As, you know, various people like George Fant, former Texans offensive tackle. He posted on his Instagram a Tennessee Titans logo that says, thank you to the Titans for the opportunity to come home. And then immediately after it, he posted a an image of a calendar that circled April 1st as if to say April Fool's Day.
You're gonna get me going on this one.
And then the one that I think most people in sports kind of saw, which is funny because Figgy made sure to put it in our group chat, was from one Eldrick Tiger Woods, if you're familiar with the golfer. He tweeted out, I can't believe I'm saying this, but a few weeks after rupturing my left Achilles, the sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber, plus the explosive lifts my doctors and trainers have me ready to play the Masters next week. Can't wait. See y'all on the course. He posts that at 7:43 a.m. Six minutes later at 7:49 a.m., he quotes it and says, P.S. April Fools, my Achilles is still a mess. Smiley face.
All right. You didn't get me. You're silly is what you are.
I don't know that there's been any good April Fools.
No, there hasn't been.
Particularly in these ways.
No. And that's. You know what? I'll tell you. It is what's popping. So I'll tell you my confession on that one right now. I don't understand what anybody gets out of this. Like, what do you get out of it? Nobody. They're not funny. They're never funny.
It's very rare.
You know,
very rare.
They're not clever. Basically what people are doing is trying to get, whether it's influencers or media or friends or whatever, to just bite on it, and then they go, aha, April Fools. That's awful. It can be mean. It can be hurtful. It's, like I said, it's never funny. It's the dumbest thing we do. It's one of the dumbest things we do. April Fools jokes. They're not jokes.
Well, I mean, I'm right there with you for the most part. Like, it's just... I don't necessarily get the benefit of what we're trying to do here because very rarely is it actually a good joke. And especially like in the sports world, not saying that sports needs to be immune from such things.
Mm-hmm.
But like I saw someone earlier like tweet out that the Texans had traded Davis Mills or whatever. And I'm like, I don't believe so.
I don't think that's true.
I don't believe so.
For a first round pick, it said.
Oh, is that what it said?
Oh, yeah, that's believable.
Okay, yeah. And I was like, believable. Not sure on that.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Pranks, I feel like, might go to a different place.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the April Fool's jokes seemingly land at a really, really low rate.
Yeah, I'm not a big prank guy other than, you know, getting a rubber.
All right. Yeah, I was like, I don't know if you're the one who can say this, brother.
One time, but that was just one time. But yeah, April Fool's jokes are the worst.
Yeah.
The absolute worst.
Well, tell that to Tiger Woods.
I will.
He thought it was very fun. All right. Some other things that are popping, and I guess in some ways this is popping in a bad way. Jerickson Profar was popped for using PEDs in baseball. He picked up a good old 80-game suspension. 80-game suspension for PEDs, and that it makes him ineligible for the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
How? I don't fully know. I just know that he is ineligible for the postseason.
Yeah.
I did take a second and be like, all right, well, that makes me feel just a little bit better that you did not sign him to try and help your outfield, although the outfield still, you know, needed some work, but glad, because I don't know what you do if you go and you pay big money. I mean, the Braves are still on the hook. I mean, I think that this could void some of his pay for this season, but they'd still be on the hook for the two seasons after for something like $10 million, if memory serves me, or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And he just had a really great season, and it's reasonable to speculate that maybe that was PED-induced.
Sure, absolutely.
And how good is Jurickson Profar actually when you just sign him to a big-time deal?
Yeah, and the kind of good thing for the Astros here, they reportedly were in on him.
Mm-hmm.
They were like in on Jurickson Profar, and maybe they knew something, maybe they found out something. Maybe they heard something and it just kind of scared him off. But 80 games, and can you imagine if he was here and he got that 80-game suspension? Things would look a lot different.
Oh, it'd be sick. I'm sure that the Braves are sick right now, man. Yeah. Like, you brought him in at a significant salary to impact it,
mm-hmm.
and not more than 5 games into the season. Hey, buddy, sit down for 80 of those. Like, that is tough. So you did dodge a bullet in that way. I don't know if you can say this, you dodged a bullet in this way, and I'm very much in in the line of fire when it comes to the take that I had in spring,
mm-hmm.
that Cam Smith and Isak Paredes would out-homer Kyle Tucker because he immediately started turning this thing up when it comes to swinging the bat. Like, he has had home runs in the last 3 games,
mm-hmm.
mind you, and he is now batting a .323 with an OPS of 1.142. Like, he is immediately doing the thing that you expect of him as one of the better outfielders in the league.
Let's check in on Kyle Tucker, shall we? Let's check in on the latest from Kyle Tucker. This would be last night.
In the air, right field, and holy cow!
Holy cow, he got all of that one. Now, to be fair,
mm-hmm.
that was against a position player because they were way up in the game. But 3 home runs in 3 days. Yeah, he's having a good start.
Yeah.
He's having a good start.
He's having a good start. I know there's a lot of people that were hoping that, oh, man, the trade would just look incredible, especially if he started off a little
slow. And he
was
struggling in the spring.
He was struggling in the mm-hmm. spring. I mean, the first couple of games mm-hmm. did not look great. And there he is. There's Kyle Tucker for you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, more power to him. Like, obviously, you know, he is a good player. It's the reason why you were able to receive the haul that you did in the get back. I imagine it would feel a lot better if Isak Paredes had sent a one or two into the Crawford boxes to this point.
Yeah.
How have you felt about Cam Smith at the plate? We have not actually talked about, and as much of the lead up that we've had about him getting to the bigs, we have not talked a lot about him specifically in the first 4 games here on this program.
Well, I think, you know, he's having what we thought might happen, you know, maybe not the keeping the sizzling bat sizzling, but I think he's kind of caught a break here because the entire offense is just bad. Like, they're just getting mowed down. I think only 3 extra base hits, as we mentioned, but I think I still have utmost confidence in him just because of his makeup, as we've talked about. But everybody offensively right now is struggling.
Yeah, he looks like he's dealing with what the same thing everybody else is, and not the types of things that you would look at a rookie and say, "Ooh, he's not figuring it out." Like,
he doesn't look overwhelmed. He looks like he's getting beat.
He looks like he's confident at the plate. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, utilizing a good eye for the most part. But I don't have as much concern there. Of course, there will be time. I imagine there will be time where it'll become concerning. I think that was the question you asked. Like, at what point does it be concerning?
Right.
Become concerning? Do you have a time frame that you're thinking about in this moment when it becomes concerning for the Astros?
I think what happens is if you go a month into the year and he starts to look overwhelmed, because I don't think he's overwhelmed at all. I think they're just not hitting the ball. Pitchers have had their number. You know, they've been a little impatient, as we mentioned. They're hitting the ball into the ground a lot, not squaring it up, as they like to say. But you go into a month into the season and he starts, it's obvious pressing, obvious a little overwhelmed, lost, whatever it may be. That's when you worry.
All right.
Maybe he needs a torpedo bat.
Maybe so. Sham Sharania mm-hmm. let us know that Kevin Durant, obviously, when he turned his ankle, left ankle, in the game versus the Rockets on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got the reporting that Kevin Durant is expected to miss at least 1 week through the team's 3-game road trip with a left ankle sprain. So the Suns are a game and a half out of the play-in. Add a few more games that you imagine there's probably a couple of losses in, just because mm-hmm. they're not that good, especially without him. This feels like it gives the Rockets an opportunity to have maximum value, either with the ability to select with that Suns pick, or mm-hmm. maybe even utilize it for potential trade in the offseason.
I think it does, but you probably know more of the details of this than I do, but there is an incentive for Kevin Durant to come back and play at least, I want to say, 3 more games. because of his contract. There might be I remember what it is. He would qualify for, he still needs to,
for awards.
Yeah, for awards and such by playing, I think, 3 more games. So there is an incentive for him.
Yeah, he has played 62 games. You have to play 65 games in order to reach the incentives. And yes, that is fair. Like, you want to be in all NBA and you want to qualify for the various other awards that Kevin Durant absolutely will be in that space for. So yeah, you can imagine that he will fight his way back to make sure he plays at least those 3 more. But it does feel like you're getting to that place where them Suns, even if he claws his way back, it might look like that game Sunday night where, you know, they kind of looked a little disjointed, like they weren't all excited to be there.
Yeah.
All right. And then one more thing I wanted to note. This is something that kind of came down earlier today. The Houston Texans are expected to host interior defensive lineman, defensive tackle Alfred Collins from the University of Texas for a 30 visit. You know, big run stuffing kind of a defensive tackle. Looked at like as a high floor guy, right? Like a high floor defensive tackle, probably an early day 2 kind of pick. And I think that that's kind of interesting because that feels like that could be in that same realm. We talked about interior defensive line as a place where that could be a need for this team. I know they brought in Sheldon Rankins, but it feels like they still have room for that kind of one tech kind of guy.
That's the one. You've been on that for a while. I mean, just a monstrous dude. Probably, what, 330, 340 in that range, and very, very tall, too, for an interior defensive tackle. And a day two pick. So that might be where he falls if they get lucky.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. Add that to the day 30 or to the 30 visits list, top 30 visits list for your Houston Texans defensive tackle, Alpha Blue, out of Texas. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Speaking of, like, some of those draft picks, I'm interested for all of our listenership, in fact, as we're getting closer and closer to the draft. In fact, just over 3 weeks to the first round of the draft kicking off on Thursday, April the 24th, what is your dream and nightmare pick at number 25? I'm very interested in how you view this. And also, I'm going to circle back around to a little bit of an either-or option that it seemed like they talked about this morning on the show. We'll do all of that next.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Vilani and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.